Okay, thank you so much for your feedback and for your, I can tell you're engaged and you've been a real blessing to me. You know, and I like the definition that I heard at Perspectives class about blessing, that it's, or in the book, I don't remember which, but it has to do with connection. Blessing is connection, and that's what I felt tonight, so I'm very grateful. Okay, so how to relate to the difficult people in my life? When I went with Dave and Susanna down to South Carolina, I talked to a friend from Hillcrest Days, and she said that Rick Rhodes, how many of you have heard of Rick Rhodes? I had never heard of him, but he was having meetings down there, and he said at beginning of one of the sessions, he says, I sense God telling me that he wants you to love, to forgive, and to pursue the people who have hurt you. So that really stuck with me. And so I want to talk about that, those three elements, to love, to forgive, and to pursue. Now, loving, you know, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about loving as being patient and kind, and but there is an element of loving too that involves being honest and vulnerable. And Ephesians 4:15 talks about that, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in Christ. So I'm going to tell you a little story that happened this summer between my sister and I. I won't tell you which one. And anyway, so soon after I got home, this sister said, now we know Marietta's home. She's always leaving. She's always closing. She's always closing the toilet lid. Closing the toilet lid. Why do you think you always have to close the toilet lid? I said, well, I had a conversation with someone 40 years ago. And I learned at that time, 40 years ago, that it's a very considerate, respectful thing to do, to close the toilet lid. You mean you're still being listening to somebody from 40 years ago? How ridiculous is that? All right, sisters, what's your opinion? They agreed with her. I was outnumbered. So I didn't feel very good. And I just felt the impulse to withdraw and to feel sorry for myself, start thinking, why does she think that way? What are her motives and what's going on in her? And, you know, that kind of thing. Start. Anyway, I didn't. By the grace of God, I went that very evening and I said, I didn't feel very good. That didn't feel very honoring to me. And she immediately said, I'm sorry. And that was that. And then I went back and, well, she was just so humble. I'm sorry. That I felt like I should, you know, that we should talk a little more. So I went back. I said, well, I don't want to just have my way. You know, everything doesn't have to be my way. But, you know, the issue wasn't so much that, is I just didn't like being ganged up on. That you called on the other sisters and everybody ganged up on me. So I had no voice, you know, because I was outnumbered. And she said, well, I did that because I felt, what was the word she used? Let me see if I can, helpless. That's the word she used, helpless. I felt helpless. I felt like I have to call on them, or otherwise you'd be stubborn and not listen to me. Oh, am I stubborn? And I said, well, okay, if I can tell you why maybe I've in the past been stubborn, because I think, well, I have to be that. If other people aren't going to affirm my opinion, I have to be, at least I can affirm it. I will. Anyway, all that to say that it ended up very peacefully, and she understood what were the things that hurt me, and I understood what were the things that hurt her. And it was just taken care of so quickly. But, you know, to be vulnerable, I mean, it's much easier to just say, you know, well, how weird is that? Than to say, you know, that doesn't feel, you know, I just didn't feel very good. I mean, makes you feel kind of stupid to say that, I didn't feel very honored, you know? And it takes much more courage to be vulnerable than it does to be mad and to help, you know, stuff things and then to get mad. And I sense the Lord saying to me, true love gives sacrificially, vulnerably, without strings attached. And, you know, then I thought about it. Well, you know, Jesus himself was very vulnerable, you know, to hang naked on a tree is a very vulnerable thing. And, you know, even now, there's so many people who reject Jesus. So it's an ongoing vulnerability for Jesus that he has so many people who reject him. Soul pain is kind of like an onion. You know, you peel and then you peel and then you peel. You know, and so I'd kind of like for us to do that. I've got this one, several case studies. I want you to help me with these case studies. So you heard my story about the toilet. Okay, so I want you to turn to someone, two of you, get together. You're going to have to get together with someone. And, okay, so two and two or two and three, whatever, get together and discuss these questions, okay? And then in a little bit, let's talk about them. So just think about them together. Just start talking out loud to each other and just discuss these. I can hear there's wonderful thoughts flowing. Okay, let's just answer these. Was the real issue about the toilet lid? No, obviously not. In what way did I feel disrespected? I was offended, right. And, my opinion didn't count, exactly. Okay? In what way did she feel disrespected? Oh, good point. I'm coming home and changing things. Yeah. Good point. Okay? So why do my sister and I want to feel respected? What need does respect fill? Communicates worth. Exactly. Honor, value. Okay? What if my sister's... Hey, by the way, is that something we can do without? I mean, is it okay? Is it stupid to feel like you have to have worth and value? No. Frieda made the comment after the time when I had this lesson in Indiana. She said she wonders if that whole thing of honor isn't because we're made in the image of God. And I like that. You know, we have to have honor. We have to have value. It's not just a here or there. We must have it. Okay, what if my sisters would not respect me or value me or honor me? Would that doom me to be a victim in not having my need for honor met? No, obviously not. Why not, Crystal? Because God can meet it. That's exactly right. Which is the most damaging to me? On the one hand, to have my sisters gang up against me and act like my opinion isn't worth much, or on the other hand, to have negative thoughts build up inside me? The latter. Go ahead and tell us why, Betty. Yes. Yes. Yes, because the thoughts build up so much venom and walls, and it's much more damaging. And it's something we can control ourselves. We can choose. Okay, so that is the part on love. And I wanted to say that the Bible tells us to take captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So, if I would have failed to talk to my sister and not listen to her point of view, and instead would have just let that imagination, you know, once you imagine one thing. Well, see, I didn't know what she was feeling about me, but I can quickly imagine. And then one imagination, and then you build another imagination, and soon you have a case that's not even true. And I would have also, if I wouldn't have gone to her and said how I felt, and she wouldn't have told me how she felt, and we would have quickly got it resolved, real fast. And I would have missed understanding my own blind spots. And she would have missed that too. And I would have missed growing in respect. And I would have also missed the opportunity to get closer to my sister. Conflict, if it's worked through, you actually get much closer to the person. Now, conflicts can be great things if you get them worked through correctly. And I like how 1 John 4:12 says it. When we love someone, God lives in us, and his love is made complete or fulfilled in us. So, he loves me. I love the difficult person. And then the love goes, makes its complete circle. If we cut it off there from, you know, God loving me and then cut this right here, then it's like God's grace is cut off. And for 2 Corinthians 6:1, that verse talks about how God's grace is given in vain. So we don't want to be like that, that it cuts off God's grace. Okay, the second one that I'd like to talk about is this thing of forgiveness. And I have two parts on that, forgive. So the first one is a definition, choosing to release punishment for others' wrongdoing to God. Okay, I have a story here, a true story about, her name is Mindy. And Mindy loved her mother very much and took care of her mother when she was older in her own home. But Mindy had so many hurts with her mother because she felt like her mother was comparing her to her sister, and she could never live up to her sister. She always felt like she didn't appreciate all the sacrifices she made for her. She didn't recognize it. And even though she was, you know, had her in her own home, didn't matter. She just kept hearing all these negative things. Anyway, so her mother died, and Mindy was left with these horrible memories. And she just could not forgive her mother. So in time, she was a very miserable woman with these horrible memories, unforgiveness. And then she had back trouble, fell, had surgery. She got to the point where she was unable to do her housework. She had to have her granddaughter come and stay with her and help her because she was unable to do anything. Anyway, so there was a preacher who was going door to door, and he came to her house, to Mindy's house, and he found her in horrible shape, back pain, and he felt terribly sorry for her, went back home, couldn't get her out of his mind. And he felt the Lord that evening. He felt the Lord prompting him to call on another person in the church to pray for her because he felt terribly sorry for her. And anyway, so he received a strong impression from the Lord that he would heal her, that God would heal her, I mean, if she would forgive her mother. And the other person that he had called upon to pray for her felt a very strong impression that God was saying the key to all of this is the passage of scripture that talks about the tormentors. Remember that story? That you're given over to the tormentors if you don't forgive. And she said, I just feel so strongly, I don't know anything about this case, but I just feel so strongly that the Lord wants Mindy to know that this thing of that this back pain has to do with the tormentors. So he went back the next day and he said, God is telling us that you need to forgive. God wants to heal you, but you need to forgive whoever has hurt you. And she just started sobbing. She said, I cannot. My mother has done too much against me. I absolutely cannot. And she just justified herself. You know, I have a right not to forgive her. The way she treated me was so awful. And he said, well, it's not a matter of your feelings. Because she just said, I just feel I can't. It's not a matter of your feelings. It's a matter of choosing to release the punishment choosing to let it go. And for others' wrongdoing, for your mother's wrongdoing to God, despite how you feel, just choose. You can choose. You can pray and say, God, I choose. Even though I don't feel like it, I choose to forgive her. And she was just crying so hard, but I choose to forgive. And just like that, she stopped crying. And she just felt so much joy flooding. And so much joy flooding. It was no longer hard. It was God coming in to help her. When she took that first step, she chose and she verbalized it. God came in and helped her forgive. And she just felt so free. So much joy. It was just a totally different atmosphere. And, you know, already everything was so much better. And then he said, okay, now we're not done yet. Because God said that we're supposed to pray about your healing too. And so he prayed for her. God, would you heal her now according to what you have showed me that you want to do this? Will you heal her? And so then after the prayer, he said, okay, why don't you just bend over? Oh, I can't. You know, it always had hurt so much before. Well, just by faith, just like you by faith chose to forgive, just bend over. She bent over and was just amazed. Okay, now do some squats. So she did squats. Okay, now jump around. So she jumped around and her granddaughter came in and, Grandma, you can't do that. Oh, well, I can. God has healed me. So she was released from the tormentors when she was willing to forgive. Okay, so let's peel back this hurt again, just like we did with the other. I think it just kind of helps. I want to have this exercise because for our own hurts, to help us think about through our own hurts. Okay, so talk with your partners again. And answer these questions. You can start talking out loud. Great. I can tell wonderful thoughts are flowing again. Okay, what were the outward manifestations of Mindy's pain?
Back pain.
Back pain. Great. Anything else? Lack of joy. Okay. What were the thought patterns that Mindy engaged in that led her to not forgive? Rehearsing over and over the wrong. Good point. So what negative feeling might comparison to her sister trigger in Mindy?
Worthlessness.
Anything else?
Jealousy.
Resentment.
Feeling inferior.
Lots of things. Overlooked. Okay. So if Mindy felt overlooked, what needs were not being met, or those all those other things that were really good, what you said? What need wasn't being met?
Acceptance.
Recognition.
Appreciation.
Being seen as a person of value. Yes. All those are excellent. Are those legitimate needs?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We must have them or we go down. So when Mindy's mother failed to give Mindy what God planned mothers to give, of honor, value, recognition, appreciation, and whatever else she said, was Mindy destined to be a victim and always have a deficit of honor, love, and value? Absolutely not. Which was most damaging to Mindy, the rejection from her mother or the negative thoughts which led her to not forgive her? The negative thoughts. Yes, the negative thoughts, without question. Okay, now part two of forgiveness, I'd like for us to look at this part. Choosing to let God take responsibility for irreconcilable situations. You know, we get into those situations. We don't know what to do. We cannot get other people to change. Okay, so quite a few years back, I was very disturbed. Here's me. I was very disturbed by someone close to me who was spreading derogatory stories about people close to me that I loved. And I found myself trying to somehow convince this person of the misperceptions. And I was found myself trying to somehow get this group to change so that they wouldn't be criticized anymore. And all my efforts to do this just left me spinning and frustrated and made me anxious. And it just made me feel more distant. So it just didn't work. Okay, now I have some questions for you again. You can ask, talk with your partners again about these three questions.
Thank you.
little tougher questions? Okay, let's get back together again. What is the clue that we are taking on more responsibility than God intends for us to take? If we get anxious, exactly. If we feel helpless, exactly. Okay, you know, in the first case, anxiety, God says, do not be anxious. In the second one, helpless, he's the God of all hope and encouragement. If we're living in helplessness, then we're not living in God's thoughts. Any other thoughts on it? Okay, on the other hand, are there signals to show us when God might want us to be involved in a person's life and that we should be responsible in some way? Good point. If he keeps bringing a situation to our minds, we just keep thinking, that's a good point. Thinking about that person. Yes. 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 That's a good point. That God often gives us a specific thing we can do, like pray, rather than taking responsibility for the whole thing. I have found that when I just feel this movement of compassion for somebody, that it usually means God wants me to be involved in some way. Maybe not talking to him, but maybe, you know, really having a concentrated time of prayer for that person. Okay. If things don't get better in a relationship, how can I know that the problem really lies more with the difficult person and it's time for me to step back? Hard question, isn't it? Any ideas? These are things that we can't, that there's no formula for them. Go ahead. Listen to your husband. Good point. Listen to significant others who can speak into your life. Frida? Interesting.
And at that point, she was ready to talk.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to repeat it for the sake of those who are going to be listening. Frida's saying that listen to the Holy Spirit. She gave a case in point in Tutwiler prison where an inmate was upset and God said, don't go. And then later he said, do go. And it was the right timing. Very good point. Don't lean on your own understanding. This is a verse that has really impressed me in the last years. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. We need humility to listen to the Holy Spirit to direct us and to listen to significant others who can help us. Rachel said that in her counseling training, she was taught to not work harder than the people you're trying to help. Now, she qualified that a little bit. She said, sometimes people are in crisis mode in which they do need more help than they can themselves do. But when that's kind of that crisis mode is past, we should not be working harder than the ones that we're trying to help. We'll just make things easy for them to stay in a rut. Okay, those were some excellent thoughts. All right, let's move on to the third thing that Rick shared, and that is actually very biblical. You know, we were studying in 1 Peter, and let's see, it's 1 Peter 3 that he says, seek peace and pursue it. So it's very biblical. So there, it's, you see that in different parts of the Bible. You see it walking, it says walk, taste and see that the Lord is good. Romans says confess with your mouth. So it's acting, speaking, walking out of obedience to God. It's not just having the right attitudes inside. It's acting on them. It needs to be acted out, not just have, okay, I'm not going to be mad at this person anymore. It's acting it out. It's in the pursuing that we open the way for God to move. In us and in the difficult people. So it's in the pursuing that we open the way for God to move in us and in the difficult people. So I've got some illustrations for you again. So when Jana and I, oh yeah, I wanted to tell you about this first. You know, I like that idea of the credit card. You know, what good does it do to have that credit card with all that buying power available to you if you don't activate it, if you don't call them up and say, I want this activated now. So in the same way, all God's power is available to us if we will act on what he says for us to do. So now let's go to this first example. Back in 2006, when there were young men that came to the clinic and shot into the clinic wanting to rob money from the clinic, Jan and I both felt a lot of fear after that time and a lot of imaginations of this big monster out to get us. And anyway, somebody, Bertie Glick, advised us to fix food and take it to these young guys. We fixed the food, but we gave it to our pastor, and he took it to the young men, the three young men, and it was just really interesting what it did in me. So it just brought the monster down to size, and Neto actually invited one of them to church then. And nice, likable guy. You know, I said, Mario, we're just really praying for you. I hope you just keep coming to church. And shook his hand. And, you know, so it just, the fear left. So it, that pursuing, that fixing the plate. Well, actually, Jesus says, remember in Matthew says, give food to those, to your enemies. So it was interesting that in that giving of the food and saying hello to him in church, how the fear just left. But also, it changed them. We were the last people that they did that because they were going around stealing from everybody. We were the last ones that it happened to. So, that's the first example. I want to tell you this story of another Esther, but this is an Esther in China. This Esther was a doctor with a very prestigious job. She had like 8 different sections in the hospital that she was over. Anyway, she was a Christian, and she openly confessed Jesus as her Lord. And it was during the Cultural Revolution, and they started mocking her, and she remained true to Jesus. And so they shaved off half of her head. So she just, shaved off half of her hair. So she just had this half of her hair, and they called her the Fool. You're no longer Esther, you are the Fool. And they took away her job, and they said, now you have to clean toilets. And so she lived in the basement, and she cleaned toilets and scrubbed floors. So she no longer had her good, honorable job. She did this for 11 years. How did she do it? She sang while she was working. And she had wonderfully clean toilets. With the lids down, of course. No, actually, in China, they don't have the squatty potties. Anyway, so she sang and was very cheerful about it. And after 11 years, they reinstated her job with back pay because her original salary was like $50 or something and reduced down to $15 and had to pay the cleaning supplies out of that. But after the 11 years, they gave her back pay for all she'd lost. So I just think that's a wonderful example of pursuing. So not only did she have right attitudes, she sang. And she did her work as though she would be doing the work for God. Okay, so this story that, this conversation that I had in South Carolina, that with the friend, she is in a very painful church split in South Carolina. And there's stories circulating, rather bizarre stories circulating. They just kind of grow and grow about the original church. And so Rick said to them, this kind of brings meaning to this, that Rick Rhodes said, you need to love, you need to forgive, and you need to pursue. So Karen said, loving and forgiving is easy. That pursuing part, that's hard. I said, okay, Karen, tell me what you do. What exactly? How is this in real life? How is it? Well, she said, I guess playing softball is a big deal down there. And she said, you know, we just invite them to come to the games. She said, you know, it seems like they like to get in on the fun stuff, but they don't want to get in on the surfaces. And so they invite them to come to the games. And she said one time she needed a suit coat for, I guess, a person visiting or something. She said, I could have called any number of women in Cold Springs, but I called a woman from the ones that left. I said, would you be able to lend me a suit coat? That was my way of pursuing. Takes courage. Takes a lot of courage. But it's making a difference. It's making a big difference. And you know, it's the women. You know what? We women can do such. We can create the atmosphere so much. We have so much potential to create the atmosphere of love. 1 Peter 3:9 says it this way, bless. It's really saying, say good things of those who insult you. Now that we can only do by the grace of God. Say good things. It's not just saying don't say bad things. It's saying good things about those who insult us. And the last one that I have is Leah. I feel sorry for Leah. You know, life just wasn't easy. Those ugly eyes. I don't know, you know, what that meant about weak eyes. I don't know if they went like, they were cross-eyed. I don't know what they were. But then, you know, her dad just forcing her to get married to this fast and dashing Jacob, who had only eyes for Rachel. And then, next morning, he is so mad at her after he sleeps with her. You know, I just feel sorry for her. And then, you know, you can just see this in one son after the other. The way she names them, it's always, well, maybe this time he'll love me. Oh, surely he will love me. You know, it's if you look them up, what those names mean, until she gets to Judah, and then, now I will praise God. She had learned it. She learned the secret of not being a victim. She learned to praise God in the midst of a difficult life. And I just think that's so interesting. Because, you know, Judah? So what's special about Judah? What's the family line that's special about that? Messiah. King David. All those wonderful psalms. You know, the power of influence that went down. Now I will praise God. Peace and freedom are found in following these three godly instructions. Love, forgive, and pursue as we encounter the difficult relationships in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you so much for your intervention in our lives, for the work of your Holy Spirit to convict us when we're wrong, for the work of Jesus Christ to save us, to redeem us from our own selves, our own wicked tendencies. So we just praise you and ask you to help us. Now, we want to be hearers of the word. We just depend on you with all our hearts to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You've been a very wonderful audience.